Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to have you here this morning, especially if you're visiting with us for the first time today. We want to welcome you and glad to have you here in worship as we're in a series called Epic. We've been looking at the epic lives of so many of the different Old Testament characters and seeing how every one of them points to the life of Jesus and to God's call in our lives. This morning, we're going to talk about Daniel. And I'm just so excited to get to preach about Daniel because he is an incredible man of integrity, and I think he has a lot to teach us and speak into our lives today. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me as we begin this morning. Let's pray. God, thanks for your word. Thanks for this story of Daniel. And I ask that your Holy Spirit might just speak into our hearts today. God, that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear your word. And Lord, help it to take root in our hearts and inform us as your people. Thanks so much for your love for every single one of us here gathered today. We just give this time to you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, in 1912, people were really excited about this 900-foot luxury ship that was about to set sail. Many of us know what it was. It was the Titanic. There's a picture of it. It was interesting to find out that the first-class ticket cost $4,300. It had tons of amenities. It was way over the top. Swimming pool, cigar club, spa, everything you could imagine. I read that there were 75,000 pounds of meat on the ship and 16,000 bottles of wine. That's a lot of wine. Maybe those of us from California don't think it was quite enough, but it was a lot of wine. And it also had 20 lifeboats with 68 spots each, less than 1,000 lifeboat spots. People didn't expect it to happen, but 4 days into the journey, the Titanic sunk. The unsinkable Titanic sunk. And for years, and during that time, over half the lives of those on the ship were taken when that ship sunk. People have been fascinated over the years as to what happened to the Titanic. And I always thought, well, it's easy. It was a really big ship on the water. It hit a really big iceberg that made a huge gash in the side of the ship, and it sunk. But what was surprising is that years later, scientists and divers took sonars down to look at the side of the Titanic. They had to go 2.5 miles down into the depths of the ocean, and what they found was really surprising. There wasn't this huge gash in the side of the Titanic. There were 6 very narrow, very small dashes in that ship. Little things sunk the Titanic. And little things that you do make a huge difference. You know, Daniel is a man who makes a lot of little choices, small decisions every day to follow God. And we see it lived out in the integrity that he has, and it has so much to say to our lives today. So we're going to begin in Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to tell you just part of Daniel's story, but I want to encourage you this week, if you would, to read Daniel chapter 1 through 6 this week. And just let God's word speak into your life, because there's so much there, so much wonderful things that God wants to teach us, especially in our lives today. I want to give you just a little background as we dive into Daniel, because it's a familiar cycle that we see throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. God's people, as God calls them to be faithful to himself, God's people end up falling away, and they become disobedient. They stop staying connected to God, they get disconnected from him. And God sends prophet after prophet as a warning to call his people back into a relationship with himself. But the people don't listen. They fall away. And tragedy strikes. And what ends up happening is a conquering nation, the nation of Babylon, comes in and it conquers all of the nation of Judah. And it takes them into captivity, into exile. And among those that were taken into exile were Daniel and the 3 friends we know of, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as a nation came in and conquered another nation, they would often take the brightest and the best of the people, which they did. They chose those in Israel who were the brightest and the best, the most intelligent. And 4 of those people were Daniel and those 3 friends. They're brought into the court of the king, and they're assimilated into the Babylonian culture, its practices, its customs. One of the first things that they did is they took Daniel and those three friends out of their homes, and they brought them into King Nebuchadnezzar's court. And they trained them up for 3 years, teaching them all about trying to assimilate them into that Babylonian culture. What they did, first and foremost, is that they changed their names. And we see that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 7. God's word tells us this: the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. I want you to notice how important it is here, because they're not just giving them any name, they're giving them Babylonian god names. That would be a big deal. They're trying not only to assimilate them into the culture, but they're trying to change their identity. And Daniel, even though his name gets changed, he remains identified with God. He stays connected to God, and he makes small steps to do that every day. I think it's interesting that although their names were changed, what he was like on the inside did not change. It didn't change who they worshiped for Daniel or for his three friends. And then in the next verse, we see the very first sign that Daniel is a little bit different when he makes a decision about what he's going to eat. It says this in verse 8, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way." See, Daniel isn't making just a decision about not liking the Babylonian food, or that he's waiting to have a good home-cooked Judean meal. It's more than that. Look at that word, resolved. He's making a significant decision here. Daniel isn't at all surprised that the meat that they were offering to him from the king's table had already been offered to the Babylonian gods. And the wine that they were bringing him to drink had already been offered in worship to the Babylonian gods. And he doesn't want to have any part of that. And so Daniel's small choice shows us this deep commitment that he has. Daniel's integrity starts with that commitment. It starts with what he believes on the inside. And I want us to look at that word resolve, Daniel resolved, because in the Hebrew, it's a really important word. It means Daniel made up his mind and his heart. He did a gut check. He connected with himself, with what was deep inside, and he knew who he was. You see, even though Daniel had been brought as a foreigner into this strange land, he knew he was a man of God, and he wanted to stay connected with that decision that he made to follow God every day. On a side note, just not right now, I just want to talk to those of you who might have come into the room this morning and you have made that kind of commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You've committed that you want to know Jesus from the inside out. You know, many of our middle school students just returned from Ponderosa. Our Wildside group just went up to Ponderosa a few weeks ago for camp. There's a picture of them, and several of our students from middle school made a first-time commitment to following Jesus Christ. And I'm so excited for that, because that was a time in my life when I was going into seventh grade that God got a hold of me at the end of a summer camp that I went to, and I began to follow Jesus. And they are now beginning to follow Jesus, to get to know him better, to be praying and to be studying his word and to be growing in Christ. And that's exactly what the scripture is talking about. A team just returned from Sintaro Village just today, actually, over in Ethiopia. They've been running a vacation Bible school and meeting with the people in Sintaro Village this last week. And I was so excited to get to see some of these pictures. This is pictures from just last week from the school that this church, all of you, have helped through your offerings to help build. This summer, we're going to be starting to build the fifth through eighth grade classrooms now. But you see the kids, every time they come to school, they just put their heads in their face, and they open every day with prayer. And these kids are growing up in a very impoverished village, but you're seeing some great things that are happening there. I was so delighted to hear from our team just yesterday that they met with the government officials. And one of the government officials, who's kind of like a mayor in the region, said that out of all 35 schools in the entire region there in Ethiopia, Hope School, which is the school that CPC has helped to build, is rated number one. Isn't that awesome? We gotta just celebrate and thank God for that. You see, the little decisions they're making every day are making a huge difference in the lives of these students. And they're noticing that it's not just about the education, but it's the spiritual impact that is also happening as God's been at work through this ministry. And I'm so excited to be a part of it. I want to thank you for your support of that, because awesome things are happening. Well, to have integrity, the very first thing you've got to know is you've got to know who you are. That's the first part of your outline if you want to follow along and just write that down. Know who you are. That's what Daniel teaches us here, because as you know that identity, you're going to do things like Daniel did. If you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see over and over again Daniel prays. Daniel is a man that is committed to prayer every single day. He wants to stay connected into this relationship with God. For those of you who are just starting this first-time relationship with God, God invites us to be people of prayer. We get access to God 24/7, and just direct access, how wonderful that is to have that kind of relationship. And if we're a follower of Jesus, we're going to want to stay invested in his word, to be reading the word of God and to be studying. It's a living word that God wants to speak to us every day. We also encourage you, as you just heard from Tyler, we want people to be connected in life groups so that they're growing in their knowledge of Christ. And they're also a place where we're being held accountable in our walks with Christ. And we're having people not only just encouraging us, but praying for us. It's a wonderful way that we are building community with each other. Well, what's going to happen in our lives, which has probably already happened to most of you, is that you're also going to be tested along the way. There are going to be things that happen in your life that are going to come up against what you say you are and who you are. So you've got to know who you are. That's the first thing. And Daniel knew who he was. The second thing to have integrity is that you have to let your identity inform your decisions. That's the second point. Your identity should inform your decisions. And when I'm talking about identity, I mean our identity in Christ. If we've asked Jesus to come into our lives, we are now followers of Christ, and that identity should inform all of our decisions, all the choices that we're making in our lives. Well, how do we do that? We stay connected to God, and we ask God before we're making the decisions. We stay invested in his word and invested with other believers that are also walking alongside us in our own journeys of faith. So many times I think our outside doesn't match what's on the inside. And sometimes when our actions don't match what we believe deep down inside, being identified with Jesus Christ, and other people see that, it's not a good influence. And God wants so much for our inside to match our outside, that our beliefs would match our actions. And we all know, folks, where that doesn't happen. And it's just a disconnect. God wants to help us with that commitment that we've made to him to then live that out. You know, about 5 years ago, I realized that what was going on in the inside of me was not really matching what was on the outside. I was doing all that I could to be a pastor here at CPC, and ministry was going well. It wasn't about any of that, but I had just walked through the loss of my twin sister, which was a devastating loss, and then my dad got really sick, and eventually he passed away. Other things began to happen within our own home. My own marriage was struggling, and we're struggling with some issues with the kids, and all of a sudden, the joy in my life just started to get depleted. And I looked around, and I realized that that was not a good place to be. I was spending so much time trying to take care of everybody else that I stopped taking care of what was on the inside. I'm so grateful for the accountability that I have in my life and have had in ministry since I began. Tyler spoke to it last week, and it's so important to have that. Not only a life group that we're a part of, but also my prayer team that prays for me. But I knew that that was a red flag that was going up when I was feeling that sense of total depletion. I'm a person who usually lives with great joy in my life, and it wasn't happening anymore. So I called Dave Rohrbach, who's the director of our counseling center, and I asked him for a referral, and I began to see a therapist. And that was such a helpful decision, such a wise decision to make, because she helped me then to begin to get in touch with the things that were depleting that joy, and that joy, over several years, got restored. And I'm so grateful today for the tools and the things that I learned in that time of therapy. Some of you may be in that place today that I was like 5 years ago, where you're just feeling that depletion for a variety of different reasons. And I want you to pay attention to that. I want you to think about the steps that you might need to take in order to let God restore that joy again. God wants every single one of us to live out of the fullness of his joy, to live life that is truly life. And he gives us the ability to do that. And I'm so grateful for the lessons that I've learned along the way to do self-care and to care for the soul that God has given to you and to me so that it remains healthy and whole as God would want. Daniel resolved to live out what he believed on the inside, and he asked the king's official then to not eat the meat from the king's table or drink the wine. And the king's official was not really excited about doing this because he would be the one held accountable by the king. So Daniel said, well, just test us for 10 days. So Daniel and his three friends wanted to be tested for 10 days and eat only vegetables and drink water and then see what happens. The king's official decided to let them go ahead and do that, and so they brought them only vegetables and water, and for 10 days this happened. And after the 10 days, they found them to be better nourished, stronger, healthier, looking better all around than all the other men who were eating the royal food. Tells us something about vegetables and water, doesn't it? No, God was at work in their lives, and that's what happens. They're brought to the king after this, and here's what we find. In verse 10, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. You see, God was blessing them and giving them knowledge and wisdom, and he gave Daniel especially wisdom to interpret dreams and other things, and the king notices this. And he finds that they are 10 times better than everybody else. You see, God honored Daniel's integrity. And God himself kept giving Daniel this knowledge and understanding, and everybody starts to notice. Their identity was informing their decisions. I think it's interesting that Daniel's tests are not over now. They weren't over with this incident that we read in Daniel chapter 1, and they didn't end as he got older and had more experience under his belt. They didn't end as Daniel kept climbing the ladder of his job and vocation. And they don't end here. And you know, that's true for all of us as well, isn't it? As we live our lives, the stakes often begin to get higher. But we're still called to live out this commitment to following Jesus. And as we do, there's some unique challenges for us in doing that. We've got to choose who we are on the inside and let our identity in Christ inform the decisions that we're going to make. And how do we do that? By staying connected to God in the ways that we see in Daniel as he's living out his life every day. We have choices every day that we're going to make, whether it's choices in our dating life, when we're choosing our spouse, when you start your first job, when you're putting your spouse's needs ahead of your own or those that you're in relationship with, when you're taking care of your aging parents, or when you yourself move into assisted living, your whole life. You see, God doesn't want just a part of you. He wants us to follow Jesus in every part of our life, in every season, our whole lives. You know, as a pastoral team, Tyler's had done such a great job of working with all of us and helping us to be united as a team. And one of the things we've come up with is a phrase that we call, we're all in. We're all in to what God wants to do in us and through us and here at CPC through his church. And I love that phrase because I think that's a phrase God wants all of us to commit to. We're all in. God wants us to surrender our lives to him, to trust him with our whole life. You know, outside of our family room, there's a sliding glass door, and right outside the sliding glass door, there is a thermometer that looks kind of like this. And this summer, we all know how these work. As the temperature goes up, the needle begins to rise, and it's gone well over 100 several days this summer. But inside of our house, there's this thermostat. And we all know about these as well, because no matter what's happening on the outside, all the pressures that are coming into the house, we have a decision about where we want to set the thermostat. We have decisions that we can control from the inside that affect what's happening on the outside. There's all these pressures that are happening around us, especially the pressures of our culture and our world. And the enemy is always at work to try to get you disconnected from God. But we have choices we can make to control that from the inside. That's integrity. Those choices that we make inside matter, and they affect what's going on the outside. We don't have to succumb to all those pressures, whatever's coming into the house. We get to make a decision about what we're going to do from the inside. Well, I want us to fast forward now, and Daniel is in his 80s. And we're about to get to the lion's den, and maybe you have it in your mind from an old Sunday school lesson or cartoon book that Daniel was just a kid, maybe even a buff teenager when he went into the lion's den. But Daniel was 80. He was 80 years old when he went into the lion's den. I look around, and there's some buff 80-year-olds here in the worship today. That's God's call to him to go into the lion's den, even at 80 years old. And here's what happened. He's continued to rise up in the ranks of King Nebuchadnezzar's court, and he's more trusted. He's proven himself as really good at what he does, and the king notices. He's been faithful, and everybody is respecting him. And so the king puts Daniel in charge of his entire kingdom. Now, this does not go over well with the other leaders in the chief's court, because they know Daniel's a foreigner, and he's been brought in, and now he's being put over the entire kingdom. And they can't believe that. They get very jealous of Daniel, and they begin to develop a plan to get rid of him, to get him out of there, out of that position. So they go to the new king, King Darius, with this plan to remove Daniel. They can't find anything in Daniel's life that would be able to bring charges against him. He's been faultless in that. All they can find is that this deep commitment to God. And so they come to Darius, King Darius, these men, and they make this plan. They ask King Darius, hey, let's have you do a new decree where everybody in the entire kingdom, no matter what they believe, no matter what God they worship, can only pray to King Darius for 30 days. Well, they pretended that they were doing it to honor him and to help him as he took on this new reign. And King Darius agreed. And then they also got him to agree that anyone who did not pray to King Darius for those 30 days were going to be thrown into the lion's den. King Darius set that decree. What do you think Daniel did? Daniel continued to pray to his God. We find that in the next verse in Scripture. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Daniel was a man of prayer, and there wasn't anything that was going to disconnect him from that. They were asking him to do something that he simply couldn't do. He remained faithful to God, and he continued to pray because he was a man of prayer. Well, they come up with this new plan, and it's not going to work. And so King Darius now is stuck. He's been fooled. And what ends up happening next is that they come back to the king. And the king has this great respect for Daniel. He's already helped raise him up. He's promoted him. He's trusted him. He knew he's a man of integrity, but he also knew that these other officials, the chief officials, had fooled him. And so he has to give the order. He can't get out of it. And he has Daniel thrown into the lion's den, and then he says this to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And then look what this next verse says. And he could not sleep. Just a side note here. I think it's a little ironic. Just think about, I wonder if the man in the lion's den had a better night's sleep than the man in the palace that night. I think that's exactly what we see happening. Darius can't sleep, and he is just anxiously waiting for morning to come. And he runs to the den, and this is what he says in the next verse. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice. He was really distraught about this. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. We see something that's happened in the king's life even overnight. He's seen the faith of Daniel. And even in the lion's den, Daniel resolved to trust in God, and we see King Darius begin to make a change in his own heart and his life as well. Even the pressures on the outside could not change what was on the inside. God calls us to this same kind of resolve that Daniel had, to be people who know who we are, to find our identity in Christ. And then to let that identity inform all of the decisions, the choices that we make. Daniel resolved to live with integrity, and he challenges us to do the same. You know, integrity in the small things leads to integrity in the big things. Oftentimes, I think we think it's the big decisions that really impact our lives. But it's actually the small decisions that we make every day that have a greater influence on who we are and what we do. And integrity in the small things, those choices that you make every day, how you're going to live your life, lead to the integrity in the big things. The small decisions Daniel made every day, his resolve to stay faithful to God and obedient to him, led to his faithfulness in the big things, even facing death in the lion's den. Daniel didn't know what was going to happen when he was thrown into the lion's den, but he trusted God, and God rescued him and saved him. He was a man who resolved to live with integrity. Well, Daniel's life, like so many others in the Old Testament, point to Jesus. Daniel knew it wasn't about his own power, but it was God. God was a God who rescues. God was a God who saves. And God was a God who was acting. And Daniel points constantly to God's power in his life, not his own. And he relied fully on that. Then look at how the king responded, because I think it's one of the most powerful statements in Scripture to show us who God is. I issue a decree, says the king, that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. It's a faith statement that's coming from King Darius, king of the Babylonian culture and nation. I mean, that's pretty incredible. You know, every day, every hour, every week, as followers of Jesus, we have the chance to let others see Jesus in us. Just like King Darius saw Jesus in Daniel, he saw God's power at work. And you know, people may not follow the Jesus that we follow, and they may not believe the Jesus that we've put our trust in, but they're watching. They're watching to see if you're going to care for the poor of the city. They're watching to see if you're going to embrace those others shun. They're watching to see how you speak to the people you're in relationship to, how you love your spouse. They're watching to see if you're going to help that coworker who's in need or maybe a fellow classmate. And they're especially going to watch if you are a person who's willing to admit your own failures, your own shortcomings, and ask for forgiveness, or maybe offer forgiveness to someone who's hurt you. All those little choices, little decisions that we make every day have great power as we go out to share God's gospel, his love, and his grace, and people are watching. God wants to use you to help others come to know him and being brought into a relationship with him. Well, you know how the story ends. Daniel's lifted out of the lion's den, and there's not a scratch on him. And he proclaims that the living God has, in fact, shut the mouths of the lions and spared his life. And at this point in the story, we often think it's the preacher, myself, who's supposed to say, see, this is what we learn from the story in Daniel. If you trust God, he'll keep you from all harm. Or if harm does come to you, it's probably because you haven't trusted God enough, like Daniel trusts God. Isn't that the moral of the story that so many of us have been taught from our children's Bibles as we look at the story of Daniel? But here's the problem with that moral. Years after Daniel, there came another servant of God who demonstrated to an extent never seen before or since a commitment to God above all things, who more than this man ever sacrificed as much for the well-being of the world he created and the people that he loves, who more than this man was absolutely unwilling to compromise his commitment to God. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came to earth as one of us, and he trusted God in all things, in all times, in all places. And in turn, did God keep him from harm? As Jesus is dying on the cross, he cries out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, this verse is found in Psalm 22. It's a prophecy, actually, of Jesus. And later in that psalm, we find another verse, and I had never seen this before I was studying for this message. It comes just several verses later, and it says this, they open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. A prediction of yet what was to come. Jesus is the true and better Daniel. He went into the lion's den, and he saw the real stone rolled over the cover of the entrance. And he conquered the real lions of this world so that we wouldn't have to, both sin and death. Does God keep from harm all who love him and trust in him? No. Thankfully, no. God sent Jesus, his one and only Son, the King of heaven, into this world to give himself fully and sacrificially to the world that he loves and to you, the people that he loves, and me. God laid his life down. Jesus didn't have to do that. He laid it down for us. And along the way, some people were drawn to him, even gave their lives to following Jesus. Others, however, hated him and still hate him. And those forces of evil, those forces of hatred came after him, and they would also come after us. But unlike Daniel, Jesus' life was not spared. God allowed his Son to be devoured. On our behalf, Jesus, the greater Daniel, was allowed to be devoured by that which would devour us, sin and death. But then 3 days later, after many in Jerusalem had a sleepless night, the Gospels tell us that Jesus' disciples, the men who feared for their own lives and ran away, they rushed to the tomb that morning in hopes that somehow the news might be true, that Jesus had, in fact, been delivered from that den of lions. And when they found the tomb empty and later met Jesus face to face, and saw the wounds that were now only scars. I like to think that they remembered the words of old Darius, who spoke just outside the lion's den that day when he said this, "For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel, and the true and better Daniel, Jesus Christ, from the power of the lions." Friends, Jesus has gone into the lion's den so that you and I don't have to. And we can place our trust in him, knowing that our identity and our security is there forever. God has given us that identity in Jesus Christ and secured us an eternity forever with him. And then God frees us to live our lives fully for him, that we would give his love away to those around us, in our neighborhoods, in our own homes, in our workplaces, out into the world, that we would be sharing the love and grace of Jesus Christ with all those around us, that others might come to know him. Sometimes people won't listen. They may even be hostile to the gospel. But God has removed the power of fear and death. After all, we have nothing to fear for the one who has already overcome the world. And I pray we'd be people who continue to know who we are in Jesus Christ and let that identity inform everything that we do, that we go out with courage and joy and boldness to share his gospel with those around us. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. God, thank you for this word from Daniel, and thank you, Lord God, for Daniel's integrity and how much it teaches us today. I pray that you would help us to see the ways that our small choices, our small decisions that we make every day have a huge impact and lead to even greater integrity for ourselves as we choose that, as we choose to stay connected to you and allow you to form us from the inside out. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people whose inside our beliefs match our outside actions. And God, if there's places right now today that we know there's some disconnect, God, I pray that you would speak into those places in our lives and help us to take steps, Lord, to get back connected with you. Thank you for your forgiveness even when we fall short. Thank you that every day you help us to begin anew. And so, God, continue to help us to be people who live with integrity, that others might come to know you and give you all the glory, just as Daniel did, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.